Praise God. You can be seated if you like. We're always thankful for Brother Taylor. We've learned to appreciate him through the years. Maybe he doesn't realize how much we appreciate him. He has been with us in so many meetings and places around the nation. And we traveled for many years without anybody with us, just from place to place and city to city. And God blessed us. And it was just really, I appreciate a call that we got last night from Charlotte, North Carolina, or over around Gastonia, from Brother David Allen. He's a follower of the Lord Jesus, was converted under Billy Graham's ministry, and he and his wife have worked with us in our ministry, and also a great follower of Brother Branham's ministry. And his wife has been responsible for, as far as I know, quite a bit of the book work of Brother Branham's, the books that you read. And they are wonderful people, real precious people in the Lord Jesus. God, through the years, has blessed them financially. And not too long ago, he come into about $70-something thousand and gave about $24,000 to the work of the Lord for a love gift. And now the Lord has restored him another business. He's having a struggle, but he said it was bringing him in $2,700 a week. God is blessing him, and he's working with Brother Bill Padares over in Gastonia, North Carolina, at the Tabernacle of God. Perhaps you've heard their radio programs and received some of their literature. But anyway, David was troubled, and he called us. He hadn't talked with us in a long time, and he's kind of a long talker when he calls on the telephone, and he pays the bill, so you can't say anything. And he talked for about 50 minutes last night, I believe Zell said, as he timed us. Brother David said he wanted to come down. He'd been wanting to come down. He hadn't been to visit with us in a good while. He's a real close friend of mine. He learned me to fly an airplane. I didn't know how till I got with David, and he learned me to fly. And we had in the past spent a good bit of time with them. Their home had always been open to us. And he gets real confidential with us and relates intimate things to us. But at any rate, David was telling me last night that he really longed to come down here. And he said, Brother Pike said, you sowed some good seed when you was on the field. That was really encouraging, Brother Taylor. Praise God. Said you sowed some good seed. He said, everything that you told me about Revelation, he said, I believe this is the greatest Revelation ministry I have ever heard of. Said everything you told me, said through the years, said it's come to pass, even to the things that you told me about my wife and about me that would happen in our life and what our purpose was. And said I've watched them, and said they've come to pass. And whether every one of them has come to pass or not, I don't know. I'm just telling you what he said. That's what he said. Praise God. And I was thankful for the encouragement, Brother John, to know that something was being done. Because whatever the praise is, it's for Jesus. It's certainly not anything that I've merited through a deep consecration or a special thing that I've done or some outstanding thing that I've done. I didn't do anything. I'm less than the least and less than nothing. I'm very grateful for what measure he revealed himself in my life to the people. And I trust that God will continue to do that. That's my prayer and that's my desire. And this has hoped to establish Brother David Allen in the gospel. And even the things that God allowed us to know at the Tabernacle of God, which seemed utterly foolish at the time that we declared them, yet it's come to pass. And he said, Brother Pike, confidentially, I want to tell you these things. And he did. He told us. And it's really something, and I praise God for it. And I couldn't relate them to you tonight. But I thank God for them. I thank God for them. And time will tell as things go on. Praise the Lord. If you love the Lord, say amen. Amen. A lot of things that God lets me know that it's a little hard to share with congregation because, you just couldn't do it. That's all there is to it. But some things you can. And for those things, I'm very thankful. I'm very grateful. Praise the Lord. So then we're thankful tonight. Hallelujah. For the great and wonderful presence of God that we felt today. and that we felt here in the service tonight. And I trust that every one of you still has a burning, a glowing, a bright, brilliant vision for Jesus Christ. And not only waiting until the spring, but with fasting and prayer and seeking God as we ask you to do through the winter months and these months now. And also being ready by spring, if God will spare us, to really lunge and move down through Central and South America and Canada and these places that I believe we can do this very thing. And I believe God has sent Brother Gonzalez on to prepare a place for us in this move through South America. And we have been asking years gone by to come into South America, in the deep parts of South America with our ministry. And someday we hope to do that very thing. But God has blessed us, and we are trying our best to do what we can in the measure that God has allowed us to have of His Son, Jesus Christ. Now we can go on to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus Christ. And I hope that we will be able to do this. But in whatever measure God has seen fit to use us for this, we are real thankful. I never have felt like anyone would excel in the ministry of Jesus Christ that goes up and down like a seesaw, you know, like a teeter-tottering. Well, you got to keep your faith up, and the Bible said, ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave on a sea, or the ship that tossed about the wind, or with the wind, and said, this man be double-minded, he'll receive nothing of God. But now when we anchor our soul in the Word of God, Brother Ford, and it becomes a sure thing and a steadfast anchor, then faith will work for us. And it's then that we'll be able to go on for God and do something in an immeasurable way for our Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Brother Pike, immeasurable? Yes, because the Bible said that He's able to do abundantly and above all that we can ask or even think. So then we praise God for this and for His wonderful, wonderful blessings. We trust that you will keep a strong vision for the work and help us complete the buildings as God sees fit to complete them and get everything ready for a great move of God that I believe will come right out of this place right here. Now, you've got to believe if you want God to work for you. Amen. You've got to believe if you want God to work for you. Moses was in the backside of the desert. Nothing out there but just the wilderness, but he believed God, and God moved for him and set a bush on fire. So you got to believe if you want God to work for you. Most people never excel in God because the pasture is so much greener on the other side. Everything that they're looking for is over on the other side, you know, and everything that they want is everywhere but where they're at. But one day I'm glad I learned that it was just exactly where I'm at. Hello! You can ride from coast to coast, but that isn't going to help you fast. That isn't going to help you pray. It's going to be just as hard in one place as it is in another. You try it. I've already tried. I know it works that way. Is that right, Brother Ford? Amen. It's the same thing. The only thing to do is to meet God wherever you're at and talk with God, and God meet with you, and something will take place. Hallelujah. So then I'm grateful tonight to be here. Thankful for the word of the Lord and thankful for God's people who have a vision, Brother Jimmy, continually, and not just on Friday and not just on a Sunday, but have a vision continually for God Monday through Sunday. Amen. And all the nights included. They have a vision. They don't waver, Brother Tom, but they stay right there at the wheel. They don't put their hands to the plow and then look back into the world and begin to wonder what benefit it is to serve God. As Malachi said, they say that it's vain to serve the Lord. Brother Vincent, what profit is it to us that we've kept His commandments? But I promise you there is a profit. The Bible said godliness is profitable for this world and the world to come. And there is a profit in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a profit. The Bible said, cast not away thy faith, which hath great recompense of reward. Amen. Abraham, after he patiently endured, he received the promise. And so then we must patiently endure, and we must hold on to God's word to be able to receive the promise. If we're not weary in well-doing then in due season, we will reap if we faint not. So So then I trust that you're not weary in what we're trying to do for God here. I hope that you're not weary, and certainly you have no reason to be weary, but I believe that we ought to renew our consecration, our dedication in prayer and fasting, and our endeavors and efforts to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's right. Praise the Lord. Now, I'd like to talk with you a little bit tonight, if I could, out of the book of Timothy. I felt to discuss a little something with you in the book of Timothy. And the other night, I don't know, I had a vision. I didn't quite understand it. And I just don't know. I'm just telling you this, what I did know of it, or what I do understand of it. But it seemed like, and maybe I've got it wrong, I don't know. But it seemed like the Lord was rebuking me because I was letting so many people preach and carry the ministry I wasn't carrying mine. And it really got a hold of me because I didn't expect that. But in the vision, I had a whole line of men up, and I was letting this one preach and that one preach. And I said, 1, 2, 3, you know, and I still had some more, wanted to preach them. And then all of a sudden something happened, and it shook me up. So I come down here to try to talk to you anyway tonight. I'm hoarse and down in here. I don't, you know, sometimes you get all tied up. And I love to hear the brethren preach anyway. I just love to hear them preach. There's something about it that thrills my soul, and I get such wonderful blessings out of it. So whether I interpret the vision right or not, I don't know. But anyway, I felt that I ought to try to talk with you a little bit tonight in the Word of the Lord. Now, in the third chapter of 1 Timothy, if you've got your Bibles, I'd certainly like for you to read with me. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Now, I'd like to take just a few minutes tonight and try to exhort a little bit concerning this. Hear God speaking through the mouth of perhaps one of the greatest apostles that ever lived. Never before have we ever had an apostle that was any greater than Paul the apostle. A man that was caught up to the third heaven, a man that spoke of the abundance of his revelation. And, you know, a lot of times when you speak of the revelation that God has given you, Brother Stevie, people seem to get the idea that you are getting exalted, you know, and that you're testifying too much of yourself. But Paul wasn't speaking of himself, but he was speaking of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He said, I praise God who saw fit from my mother's womb to reveal his son within my life. He was ordained for that purpose, and there are men in the world that are ordained for the purpose of having the Son of God made manifest in their lives that others might be able to find their way to God. And I praise God for the abundance of revelation, Paul was saying. And I too tonight praise God for the abundance of revelation that he has seen fit to let me see, know, and understand. Hallelujah. I'm not the only fellow that God gave abundance of revelation to, but there's one thing that I can truthfully say is that God has abundantly revelated to me the Word of the living God. So much that I cannot put it in books. I cannot give it all on tapes. I cannot tell it through all of my conversations. Through everything that I try to do, I still find when I get along with God that so much of it comes back to my heart and my mind that I've never uttered to the people. So I praise God for the abundance of revelation that God has enlightened my heart with, and also the revelation that he has enlightened the hearts of others with. And I praise God for every man that ever wrote a book. to give us the revelation of Jesus Christ. Many men way back yonder, Brother Ford, many hundreds of years ago, was endowed with the power of revelation. A lot of folks say, well, this is a new thing. No, the Bible said, ask for the old paths and walk therein and you'll find rest to your soul. This is really the old path that's been covered up, and this is really the landmark that has been rediscovered, that has been covered up in the years gone by. I remember when the King Josias came on the scene, and some of the kings of old, how that they began to dig out the old scrolls and begin to check back when the house of God was all torn down and there wasn't a place to worship and there wasn't any place to go to talk with God, and the whole land was filled with idolatry and with corruption. These men took the parchments out, or they took the Bible of that day out, and by the time they began to judge the people according to the word, and they begin to inquire, is there prophets in the land? Is there still prophets in the land? And they said, is there still preachers in the land? Or has all of them passed away? And to Josiah's utter amazement, and to the king's utter amazement, in that day they found that somewhere, hallelujah, that God still had the prophets, and God still had the ministry, and God's word was preserved, hallelujah, for that day and for that hour. And so it was, even in the dark age when the crisis was on and when everybody was having a hard time, people was being torn apart, people was being tortured, their tongues was being pulled out, they were strapped down to tables, and cats was turned loose to scratch their entrails out, and their fingernails were pulled out, their eyes were gouged out, they were torn apart as they were hitched together with two horses pulling in opposite direction. But they found that in that day, the word of God still prevailed and God's spirit still moved. Hallelujah. In the dark age, and the testimony remained even until this day that we're living in. Hallelujah. Glory to God. To be like Jesus. Brother Taylor sings the song, to be like Jesus. I don't want gold, and I don't want silver. I don't want riches. I don't want fame, and I don't want popularity. I don't want people saying good things about me. But there's one thing I want, and that's to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. I want God in my life. I want the Spirit with me. And when I begin to move, when I begin to talk, when I begin to travel, when I begin to study, when I begin to pray, when I begin to get in solitude, I want the connection with God. Amen. I want His Spirit to come down and be with me and envelop me and enrich me and energize my innermost being with the virtues of our God and with His revelation and with His mind. Hallelujah. Now then, we can have it if we want to. The Bible tells us to be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit. I think the trouble with the church world today is they're not filled with the Spirit. They don't have the Spirit of God. They have some kind of Spirit, but not the Spirit of God. But I'm glad that God's got a body. It's a minority. Just a few that'll find it, the Bible tells us. But there is a minority somewhere in the world that's got the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. There's those that's got God's Spirit. And they that have God's Spirit will testify of God's Word. And so then, God, today we say, Lord, as we look upon the crisis of the world and in the hour wherein Jesus said that this is the beginning of sorrows, and we see the heartaches, and we see the oppression, and we see men being driven out of their minds and women being driven out of their minds, and we see the evil spirits of the powers of Satan coming in, enveloping humanity. And they're becoming like robots to this evil power and this evil control as Satan tries hard to trample down the minds of humanity. As we look at these things, then the question comes back, is there anything good left in the land? Is there a prophet among the people? And then the question comes back, is there God's word still in the land? I tell you that God's word is still in the land. God's still got prophets in the land. God's still got pastors in the land. God still got evangelists in the land. God still got them old, hallelujah, with the Spirit of God and the revelation of the mind of Jesus Christ that's in the world today. Amen. He's still in this world moving. God is still moving by His Spirit. And things are still taking place in the church world today. In spite of all the evils that surrounding the people, God is still in the midst of His people. Hallelujah. Timothy here, a young preacher. Paul writing to him, writing to the church. And here Paul states in his writings, as he begins to utter forth the great revelation of God, having been caught up into the third heaven, having had things revealed to him that no other man had seen, but he himself had seen these things, that these things was revealed to him, and he began to make known to the people. Then the people began to rejoice in their heart. They that had eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit said to the church in that day, they begin to receive it. Others resented it and could not receive it because they did not have eyes to see nor ears to hear. And they hated Paul. They didn't like Paul. They put him in prison and they persecuted him. But God delivered him. Amen. God delivered him. Hallelujah. God delivered him. God was with him. My brother, God will deliver you. If you're God's man, if you're God's woman, if you've got a testimony, God will deliver you. And God will go with you wherever you go. And He'll stand by you. Hallelujah. He said, wherever you put your foot, I will give it to you. And He said, I will be with thee whithersoever thou goest. Hallelujah. I will be with thee. Glory to God. I'm glad that God's with us. It's no wonder to me that some of the people have such a hard time. It's because they're not spiritual. They don't have a spiritual insight. They don't have a spiritual understanding. They've just got to hear certain people preach or they don't have anything. Amen. I've seen women that wouldn't listen to nobody but their husband. If anybody else got up to act like they wasn't interested in it. Amen. I'm not these kind of people. It's no wonder they have the trouble that they have. But praise God for people that love Jesus. That's not looking for preachers, but looking for God and asking God to help them in the things that they're trying to do. Amen. I get up here sometime. I go to turn the service over to some of the preacher. And I see some of the people get up and walk out and leave the tent. And I thank God, how can they call themselves a Christian? Anybody that won't listen to a minister, there's something wrong with them. If you've got to have a special ministry or just to listen at or a special preacher, there's something wrong with you. Amen. God's in the ministry, not the minister. Praise God. Somebody said God's in the minister. The Bible said God's got a ministry. Amen. A fivefold ministry in the earth today. Glory to God. He didn't say some prophet is going to perfect the saints. He didn't say some evangelist is going to perfect the saints. He didn't say some fellow is going to perfect the saints. But He said the ministry. Without spot, twinkle. Or without blemish, He'd bring the church forth with the ministry. For He has set in the body a ministry. Hallelujah, that it might perfect the saints of God. I'm glad that when I go to Mississippi, I hear God's word. When I go to Texas, I hear God's word. When I was in California and I heard the preachers preach, I heard God's word, my brother. Amen. Amen. Ministers I'd never met, people I'd never seen. But praise God, the testimony of Christ was in them. Why was that? Because they had the Spirit of God within them. Amen. When God's Spirit's within you, you're going to do something. When God's Spirit within you, you're going to be something. Hallelujah. Paul, after being caught up into the third heavens, and he saw this great, wonderful thing. Saw the great thing that God was doing. Hallelujah. He come back talking about a fivefold ministry. Before he got caught up, Brother Taylor, he was kind of a oneness, but he was the wrong kind of oneness. We got a lot of people in the world, and they're oneness, Brother Zell, but they're the wrong kind of oneness. Amen. The oneness don't go no further than them. They're the only one. I said they're oneness, but the only one they know about is them and what they're preaching. What they're preaching and what they believe. He was
was a Jew. He thought that was the only people in the world. But praise God, one day God woke him up and made him a real one, you see. Amen. Made him a real one, you see. Got him into the real message of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The Bible said one God, one faith, one baptism. Amen. Father, make these ones be one. Glory to God. Some evangelist straining a net and swallow a camel. They're so afraid somebody's going to call them oneness that they spend half of their ministry trying to convince somebody that they ain't oneness, and then they're afraid they'll die and go to hell if they don't preach baptism in Jesus' name. And as quick as they start praying on, somebody said he's oneness anyway. How foolish can people get? Glory to God, let me preach the Bible. I don't care if they call me oneness or two-ness or three-ness or whatever they call me. I'm a Christian. I love God. I love God's Word. I don't care what they call me. Amen. As long as I please God. Paul said, if I seek to please man, then I'm not pleasing God. So then, my brother, I'm not seeking to please man. I'm not seeking to get the admiration of man. The Bible said, how can you have honor of God when you keep looking for somebody else to say good things about you? How can you have God's honor, the honor that comes from the Spirit, when you're seeking honor one of another? I don't want the honor that comes from man. I want God's Spirit. It's not by power, it's not by might, but it's by the Spirit. Some people spend all of their life trying to make themselves a reputation, and only to learn that when they get it, to their sorrow they got it. Amen. To their sorrow they got it. Amen. I'm telling you like it is. But I'll tell you what. The Bible said Jesus chose us to make a name for himself. Make a name for himself. He didn't choose us, the Bible said, because we're good folks. Some of you folks think you're good. The Bible said he didn't choose you because you were good folks. That's Bible. You're certainly not the largest people in the world, are you? You're not the biggest number. He said you're fewer than anybody else. So he didn't get you for that reason. It wasn't because you're so much better than anybody else, because there's no justification but by faith. Hallelujah! Only the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient, and your faith in that blood brings you salvation. That's your righteousness. Did you know the Jews fasted? The Jews prayed? The Jews did everything that a nation could do. But they stumble at the stumbling stone. Amen. They never did submit to Jesus Christ. They never did accept the righteousness of God, which is by faith in the Son of the living God. Oh, they stumbled. And Paul came and shook his raiment and said, I'll go to the Gentiles. A nation seeking God. And yet God walked right off and left them. Folks, you better wake up. I said, you better wake up. Them people fasted, them people prayed, them people sought God, and God walked off and left them while they're fasting and praying, and them crying, oh God, why have we fasted? They say, and you don't hear us. Why is it that we've done these things? We give tithe of all we possess, and he walked right off and left them. Amen. And he went out there to a bunch of Gentiles that wasn't even calling on the name of the Lord, that wasn't even looking for God. Amen. He wasn't even looking for God. They were just wandering around out there doing nothing but enjoying the things of the world. But God went to them. We better wake up, folks. Too many of us get the idea that we bear the vine instead of the vine bearing us. I said we better wake up. We're not the vine. God's the vine. Amen. Jesus is the vine. God the Father is a husbandman thereof. The Holy Ghost is alive and spirit in that vine. Amen. And the trees of God are full of holy sap. Amen. That's right. Green trees. Green trees. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus said, they're doing this to me. I'm a green tree. Glory to God, I'm rich with the Spirit. He said, what's it going to do with the dry ones? When the fire hits you dry folks, he said, what's going to happen to you? But I'll tell you what, we can have the Spirit. We can have the Spirit. The Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness for God. Was manifested in the flesh. Hallelujah. Manifested in the flesh. Glory to God. God was manifested in the flesh. God the Great Spirit was manifested without measure in the body of Jesus Christ. I hear people stumbling and staggering over that thing about said, well, if Jesus Christ was everything, they say, tell me who he was praying to. I think, my God, how little can people be? How little do they read their Bible? How little do they study? How little do they know about godliness? How carnal can anybody get? The Bible said all power in heaven and in earth was in Jesus. Amen. The Father's power was there. The Holy Ghost's power was there. Every power. Amen. You say, well, who was he praying to? The Bible says his prayers returned into his own bosom. Who else could he pray to? Glory to God. God's a spirit. Amen. The Son of God calling, praying. Hallelujah. Who is God? In the beginning was the Word. My dear God, people running around across the country hollering, I'm called to preach. You say, don't you believe it? I tell you, some of them's not. The old preacher, you hear me say it so many times. My pastor used to have a little slogan. Some are called, some are sent, some got there because they went. Amen, and that's just exactly the way it is. Hallelujah. You say, well, I've been called. That ain't good enough. That ain't good enough. You say, I'm called to be a Christian. I'm called to be a preacher. I'm called to be a prophet. I'm called to be an evangelist. I'm called to be a pastor. But that's not good enough. Amen. The Bible said many are called, but few are chosen. Praise God, if you presented yourself so you can be a chosen one. This is a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Hallelujah. The Bible said them that come back in the book of Revelation, they was following God on white horses. They looked at him. He said, these are the called, the chosen, and the faithful. Praise God, you've been called, but have you been chosen? And you know what? I wonder how many of you have been faithful. I wonder how many has been faithful. They got a place over in Wyoming that Dad and they went up there to see not too long ago. It's called Old Faithful. You know why it's called Old Faithful, John? It's been there so long. Glory to God, it's helped the post to do that. Been there for many years. Hundreds and thousands of people have lived there. And every time they go, the Old Faithful still spewing up. Still spewing up, Brother Taylor. Glory to God, somebody come by and say, well, ain't but one thing to say about that. Well, what's that? So that's Old Faithful. And ever since then, they've called him Old Faithful. Hallelujah! That's the way it is with God's people. They're faithful all the way. Hallelujah, Old Faithful. You'll see them on Monday. They're faithful. You'll see them on Tuesday. They're faithful. Glory to God, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. They don't change. They swear to their own hurt, and they don't get stiff-necked. They don't get resentful. They stay the same. Hallelujah. 365 days a year, and if there's any more, will they stay that too? Amen. Great is the mystery of godliness, for God was manifest in the flesh. Somebody said, Brother Pike, do you really believe that God came down here in this world and was made flesh? I certainly do. In the beginning was the Word. Hallelujah. Now, educated men use what they call a syllogism, and they can tie about three words together, you know. Go over there and pick up the Word, and they get the Word, and then they go down there and they pick up flesh, and then they go down there and pick up the name, and then when they get to the professor, he has to either admit it or confess he's a lunatic and throw all his books out the window. Amen! Because it's right. According to education, it's right. As well as according to faith. Hallelujah. So what is it? What is it? The Bible said in the beginning was the Word. Is that right? And the Word was God. Is that right? And the Bible said the Word. It said the Word was Spirit. And the Word was made flesh. Is that right? Is that right? Brother Bob, did he say that? Hallelujah. Did John say he was in the world and the world was made by him? He was in the world and the world was made by him, and the world knew Jesus not. I said they knew him not. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and God was made flesh. Hallelujah. I said the Word was made flesh, and it dwelt among us. The Word, which was God, which was a spirit, the Spirit was actually made flesh. That's what we need today. Hallelujah. God's still doing the same thing. I said he's still doing the same thing. God's still making the word flesh town. That's his purpose, Brother Bob, in the earth. Glory to God. That's why we're called the body of Jesus Christ, members in particular, because he's making the word flesh. Now you say, Brother Pike, do you believe you're Jesus Christ? I didn't say that, did I? Paul said, you are the body. You are members. Collectively speaking, you are the body, and Jesus is the head. In him dwells the fullness of the head to the body. Amen, the Godhead. Amen, and in you dwells the fullness of the body to the Godhead. Amen, he's coming back after his body one day. I said, you're the members of that body. You're the members of it, my brother and my sister. You're the members of that body. I might be just a little toenail, but I'm a member. Glory to God, I claim membership in the body of Jesus Christ. We're baptized into the body by the Holy Ghost. Glory to God, by the Holy Ghost, we are baptized into this membership body. As a member by one Spirit, we're all baptized into the body. Glory to God, some folks don't believe in baptizing, but I do. I do. I believe in baptizing in Jesus Christ's name. Paul said as many as been baptized in his name, put him on. As many as put him on, they've been buried into his death. They're in the likeness of his resurrection. Hallelujah. In the likeness of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the resurrection. For if we be buried with him, then we also shall be raised in his likeness. Hallelujah. And in that day they will have on the wedding garment, which is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is still making the spirit flesh, my brother. Amen. Amen. You say, how, Brother Pike? Measure, by measure, by measure. He made it in its fullness to Jesus Christ. There was no measure. Somebody said, now bless God, he's the Son of God. You're the Son of God. And they get all mixed up and all misconstrued. My brother, the Bible said he was the Son of God. He was God without measure. Amen. Somebody say, you say that he was the Son of God. Don't the Bible say I'm a Son of God too? It certainly does. I said it certainly does, but it didn't say you was without measure. The Bible said God has dealt unto every man the measure of the Spirit. Hallelujah. We're ordained to the fullness of the full measure, the full stature of Jesus Christ. Amen. But the Son of God was God without measure. That means he was altogether God. Hallelujah. You're just a member. I said, you just got a measure. Oh, that God might increase my measure. Oh, that God would increase my measure. Oh, that God would smile upon me and increase my measure. Oh, glory to God. I feel the Holy Ghost. But I want my measure increased. I want my measure increased. I want God's hand upon me. Oh, I'd rather have God than riches. I'd rather have God than treasures. I'd rather have God than anything that this world can afford. I mean that from the depths of my soul. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. I believe I'm a temple of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is in me. Hallelujah. And the Bible said if we defile this temple, he'll destroy it. God help me. God have mercy on me. My God, what a calling, what a calling, what a privilege. Help me, God, to never defile the temple. Help me to never get foolish. Help me to never get careless. Help me to never get unconcerned. Help me to never be carried away with the things of this world. Great is the mystery of this godliness. For God is a spirit. God was manifested in the flesh. God was made flesh. God was made flesh. I said God was manifested in the flesh. Hallelujah. Amen. God in the flesh, God in the flesh, God in the flesh. You say, what do you mean, preacher? God in the flesh. Glory to God, God in the flesh. Somebody said, well, I don't see it like that. I'm not talking about God in your flesh. You're so carnal-minded, God couldn't be in your flesh if he wanted to. I'm talking about the sons of God. God in the flesh. God in the flesh. I know my sheep, and my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Amen. I'm talking about God in the flesh. How much of God are you letting live within you? I'm going to take just a few more minutes and then we'll close. I'm talking about God in the flesh. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? God in the flesh. I mean when you quit smoking, when you quit dipping, when you quit gossiping. Amen. That's God being manifested in the flesh. When you quit lusting, when you quit craving, when you get temperate, when you sit down to the table. That's God in the flesh. When you're not a hungry and a greedy dog, as the Bible says, that wants everything that you can get your hands on. When you've got a desire to pray and a desire to fast and a desire to go to church, and then you've got a desire to give to the gospel and to the ministry of Jesus Christ and see the vision of God going, that's God manifested in the flesh. When you got a desire to dig a ditch for God, get on the end from the hole diggers, drive a nail, praise God, whatever it might be. Praise God, when it comes to manual labor, some folks are opposed to that, but the Bible said to love Him with all of your strength. Amen. Bezalel built an ark. Amen. Paul the Apostle worked a little bit. Glory to God. I'm talking about God in the flesh. Hallelujah. When you Peter said, add to your experience godliness. Godliness. What is godliness? You love to come to church. I was glad when they said unto me to go to the house of God. What is godliness? What is godliness? When you walk right, talk right, look right, and act right. Hallelujah. When you women start dressing according to holiness, according to godliness, and forget about the lust that's running over your bodies. Forget about what you think is your pretty face. Amen. It'll look like a preen one day anyway. You better give it to God while it looks pretty, because I'll tell you it won't look pretty long. Amen. Some of them movie stars out there that's given their faces to the world, amen, have done withered up like a preen. Now they're taking guns and blowing their brains out, and they're taking overdoses of sleeping tablets, and they realize they throw their life away. Some of you women so determined to show the upper part of your body to every man that come by using false fittings. Amen. Someday you're going to be sorry. You say, Brother Pike, what are you, like a dead dog rotting and busted open, smelling in the Son of God? Amen. That's what a dead dog's a type of. Talk about revelation, Brother Taylor. That's what a dog's a type of when he smells and he busts open. The Gentiles likened unto dogs rotting in spiritual corruption. Busted open! Amen. And coming up a stake in the nostrils of God. But the Holy Ghost is a sweet, sweet, sweet Holy Ghost aroma of the sweet shrubs of the forest of God. Amen. Like the mountains. Hallelujah. Dew that falls down on the roses. Glory to God like the honeysuckles. Hallelujah. Oh my. What an aroma. What an aroma. Oh, hallelujah. In the gardens of God. In the gardens of God. Did you know the Bible said Satan walked amidst the stones of fire? How many of you know that's the Bible? How many of you know the Bible said you're God's jewels, stones of fire? They said diamonds got fire in it. Did you know that Satan walked in the midst of those jewels? Amen. When you come to church, the Bible said Satan comes also. Walks up and down in the midst of those stones of fire, sparkling and radiating with the Holy Ghost that'll outshine the noonday sun. What are you talking about? I'm talking about God in the flesh. Oh, glory to God. I feel like I'm just getting anointed to preach now. Amen. I know some of you can't stand that thought. Oh, hallelujah. No wonder Paul preached so long. Oh, hallelujah. I stop sometimes when I'm just ready to go. Just out of consideration. I try to stop. I want you to stand with me. My hallelujah. What a day that shall be when my Jesus I shall see.